start us up. So, Lord God, pray your anointing or fresh anointing on this guy. I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless him as he speaks to us, that your Holy Spirit will inspire him, that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us today, and Lord, that we would be changed in some way through it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There you go, sir.
Hello. Yep, cool. Good morning.
Morning.
Forgot how much you have to turn your head when you stand here. So today I'm... Whoa. No jokes. Today I am focusing again on the Book of Acts. Not the whole thing. So we'll only read from the first. So if you can first find it in your Bibles. So we'll do a sword. Has everyone got a Bible? So don't open your Bibles yet, because this is the way we do it. So I'll give you the book and the verse. And when you found it, don't open your Bibles yet. That's cheating. Okay, so when you found it, you've got to put it open on your head so I know you found it first, okay? So it's Act chapter 1, verse 1. I should get a countdown clock going, shouldn't I? Pardon? Hey! Well. Oh, no, the phones count. I guess I've...
Well, he was first then.
Acts 1:1. Thought I'd keep it easy. Has everyone got it?
No.
Cool. So what we're now going to play is a game of who can keep the Bible on their head for the whole sermon. No. Okay. So you can remove Bibles and phones from heads. I'm quite impressed with the lack of phones. Normally you'd do that, and actually it's from this side.
They're all old school.
There's no school like the old school. Retro. Books. Okay, so I'm going to be basically talking about this whole passage and just picking bits out from it to kind of expand on. So, the first it says, see, I've got my Bible, but I can't actually read it because it's too small, so I've got it here. So, at the beginning it says, in my former book, Theophilus, I think that's how you spell it. Theophilus. How do you say it? In my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. So I'm going to stop there. Because when I read that at first, the first thing that stuck out to me is what does
Theophilus
mean? Because we...
Person.
Is a person. So basically...
Theo is God, isn't it?
It means loved by God or friends of God. In Greek. So, in some translations, it refers to Theophilus as most excellent. Theo. My mate Theo. T-Dog. It refers to him as most excellent, which suggests that this book was written to a specific somebody or someone of power. To call him most excellent. So in this time, it was more than likely a Roman official or somebody like that. However, some people believe that this term, Theo, is used just as a generic to describe all Christianity, which is, this is one of the Bible's big mysteries that we'll never fully know, one of the big puzzles. But what I do know is that what is written in this text is beneficial for us as a church now, for the transitions we're going through together as a group, and also for us individually. So now you know what Theo means. I can read it to you. In my former book, Theo, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. So the former book written was Luke. Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So what that verse there is, in essence, is an overview of what is written in Luke. It's an overview of Jesus dying. It's an overview of him coming back. It's an overview of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And it's an overview of the commission. All essentially in one text. But what I want to do is take a few minutes to evaluate just a couple of things. A few verses that stood out to me. The first thing was in verses 4 and 5. Where it says, On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. This gift is the Holy Spirit. So in other words, don't go out. Don't go to the ends of the earth. Don't go evangelize. Don't go and do everything. Don't go and tell everybody about me yet. Be patient. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit to be in you in order for you to go and do that. It brings me back to what I said in my previous talk, which was a little while ago now, but I mentioned about how we can go out and we can do lots. We can go out and get people and bring people in, you know, and do so much. But we have so much to do for ourselves first, which will attract others anyway. Jesus is saying, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait till it's around to go with you in what you have to do. I'm not saying we don't have the Holy Spirit, that you don't have the Holy Spirit, so we can't go and do these things. But what this verse is showing us is that it doesn't have to be one big rush. So often as Christians, we can get so tied up in this rush and let's go do this, let's go do this. But you can be patient. If the Holy Spirit isn't with us, or we haven't consulted with God and asked for the Holy Spirit to come with us in our outreach, we can set ourselves up for failure and for disappointment, which is not what God wants for you. And it's not what you want. So, you know, I for one, I'm a sucker for rushing into things. Sometimes not really thinking about what I'm going to say, not thinking about what I'm going to do. Don't laugh. Sometimes I don't. I don't stop. I don't think. I don't take stock. I get an idea and I run with it, or I attempt to run with it, and then it all just kind of fizzles out. Had this idea when we was in Kenya, which was a little while ago, and it was like, when I get back, I'm going to sort out a big show and going to sort out a big worship night of this artist Godfrey Birtle that I really enjoy, and we're going to get a big band together and going to enjoy a dance and worshipping God in a different way. Has it happened? No.
Yes.
Yet. Have I got a date? No. Have I got a venue? No. Have I got a band? I've mentioned it to a few people. The reason in this is because it might be a good idea, it might be something to do, but I didn't sit and I didn't pray about it and I didn't ask the Holy Spirit to kind of affirm it for me. I thought, this is a good idea, let's go and do it. And it can so easily fall flat. Now that might happen. I might go and pray about it And he might say, yes, go ahead. So sometimes they're great ideas that we have. They're brilliant things to do, but we can rush as people. Now, I'm sure there's a few of you like this. Do you know? We have an idea which, like I say, might be a brilliant idea, but we don't stop and pray, and it doesn't actually come into fruition. I don't know, I might be the only one that does that, in which case this is completely pointless, but I'm sure I'm not. Maybe I'm just in one big rush. But even sometimes in the small things, the spur of the moment things, the ones where you haven't got time to spend hours or weeks or loads of time planning and praying and waiting for a response, even in the split second things, the conversations you have at work, the conversations you have as you go through life, you know, the, should I go and do this? Should I go and do that? Split second things, when you see something happening, you have an opportunity to do something, you might go and do it, you might not. You might have that conversation with somebody at work or a friend somewhere and talk about God. You might talk about them, talk about yourself, talk about church, invite them to church. I've spoken to a few people in the past about coming to church, and I'm sure a few of you have. How often do they actually come? Sometimes not. How often do you get in this conversation and you get so deep in it and you think, oh, I've not got an answer, or I don't know what to say next, or I've got involved in something I really am not prepared. I've gone to do action here and actually I can't do this. I've gone to help this person in this and I can't. It happens a lot. Almost daily sometimes. In those situations, think about what would happen if you just stop and just quickly say a quick prayer. Lord, really give me confidence to talk in this situation. I pray that you will fill me with your spirit to give me the right words to say, give me the right actions. How often do we do that? Sometimes we do, but sometimes in stir of the minute, we don't do it enough. Well, I don't. You all may be perfect, in which case I'll just stand in the mirror there and preach, that's fine. But what would happen if you took that time to say a prayer? God, please help me talk to this person. I think it'd be really good for them to come to church, give me the words to say to answer their questions. Would there be a difference? Would they maybe come to church? Would you maybe not feel so uncomfortable in that conversation? Would you have an answer? That's what it's saying in this verse. Wait for the Holy Spirit before you act, before you go and evangelize. Do you know, I wish my mind automatically went to pray, pray, pray. Sometimes it does. A lot of times it doesn't, because life can easily block that, go straight to God. Now, I'm not ashamed to say it, I'm human, I struggle. But if it did, how different could your day-to-day life be? See, what this verse teaches us, it's not a, like it's just us. What this verse teaches us is that even the apostles needed the Holy Spirit. Even the people that walked alongside Jesus, that saw Jesus firsthand performing all these miracles, that saw Jesus after he raised from the dead, that witnessed everything, got the teaching that we get through the Bibles and translate and get things from in our own different ways. These were the people that was there walking it and wrote it. Even these people that wrote these stories, in these stories, that knew all the power of God, they knew exactly who he is, they had to be told, whoa, slow your horses. Pray. Get the Holy Spirit in you and then act. Which for me is quite encouraging. You know, it says that no matter the knowledge, no matter the experience, there's so many people in this world that have so much more knowledge than me. Well, one or two people. But there are a lot of people with a lot more experience. You know, more experience, more knowledge. Which is fine. That isn't what matters. It can help, but it's the Holy Spirit that matters. It's the Holy Spirit that makes a difference. You know, and that should be encouraging to all of us. All of us that are thinking, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, why can't I do this, I can't do that. I don't know this, I don't know that. It doesn't matter. It's the Holy Spirit that makes a difference. And it's the Holy Spirit that we all have access to to help us with that knowledge. You know, the apostles needed to wait for that. So it's fine that you don't know everything. Because even the people that knew everything there was at the time, it went Jesus and then them pretty much, even those people needed to wait. It says next in verse 6, "Then they gathered round him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.'" Now this is interesting to me in itself, because Jesus could, it says there, "Are you at this time going to come and restore the kingdom of Israel?" Jesus could have come down in the clouds there and then, put it all to bed, showed everybody who he was. He could have done that. It's Jesus. But he said, wait. He would have come down, he would have convinced all the kingdom of Israel that had heard the stories of Jesus. But what wouldn't have happened then, as effectively as it might today or tomorrow, is affect the rest of the world as much. I mean, it would, but all the rest of the world didn't know everything that was going on at this time. Not like nowadays, it wouldn't have just gone on BBC News, look what's happening. You know, people wouldn't know everything there was about Jesus. It's not for us to know the times and dates the Father has set in his authority. And I think the fact that this comes just before the filling of the Holy Spirit and just before saying to go and testify, go and ask the Holy Spirit, go to all the nations, because that is a time when it will make a difference to show the rest of the world. He could have done it there and then, but he was patient in it. Do you know, and yeah, people in England didn't know about Jesus at this time. Jesus didn't come here or to America to preach. So it wouldn't have made the difference that it might do now. It's all about patience and knowing his time. And sometimes we want things to always be in our time. We want to give God suggestions of when to do things. But it's the patience. I mean, this is a promise that he made just before he left, however long ago, all that many moons ago. And he's still being patient for that. And straight after it, it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will witness. You will. It's not you might receive power, you might receive this. You will receive it. But what you will notice in all of this, it's the Holy Spirit always comes before the witnessing. It's always the patient in getting the answer from God before the action. Do you know, and it isn't just the coming back we don't know the times and dates of. It's everything. Do you know, we always pray. Quite often we pray and we want something to happen right away. We expect something to happen right away. Like I say, in our times. And so often we pray and we can get so frustrated that God hasn't answered, that God hasn't acted, that that thing didn't happen for you, and you think that God's somehow forgotten you. I'm sure it's happened to all of us in some way, shape or form, when you've prayed, it's like, "God, please can you do this? Where's the word for prayed?" And then you pray again the next day. Where's it happening? And then you pray again maybe a week later, and then maybe a week later. And there's no consistency there, and you're just kind of like expecting for it to happen. But it's in his time. So I don't know if many of you know the story of when I moved to Birmingham. It's a prime example of this. My dad said, "I want to move to Birmingham here." I was like, "That's a bit bold, Dad." Because Birmingham, that's a bad idea. No, he got a little pen and he circled a little circle on a map and said, "There, that's where I want to live." "Alright, Dad, that's where you want to live." It didn't happen. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. didn't happen. We ended up moving to some dive, horrible, horrible area near Yardley, and it was not nice. But Dad was like, "That circle, that's where we're going to live." So, Dad, we're moving here. This is your circle's here. We're moving here. That's where we're going to live. And we moved. And my dad kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. He moved closer to Birmingham because that's where we needed to be as a family. But he kept praying, kept praying, kept praying. And then a year after living in that house, he was still looking for houses. And there was a house in that circle. And he was like, "Scott, that's where we're going to live." So, Dad, they're not going to move from that house, which is like just over a year old, to this house, which is falling down. We've left the gerbils running around. We don't know where they are. I mean, this is not going to happen, Dad. That's where we're going to live. All right, crack on. Yeah, it's near Mum. The school's there. It's near Charlie's school. It's fine. It's near my college, Dad. I'm well happy for it, but it's not going to happen. Anyways, time and time passed. And they said, "Yeah, we'll do the swap." And I was like, "You are a show-off, ain't you, Gordon?" My dad's sitting there all smug, like, "Yeah, me and my mate." I was like, "Yeah, all right." And there's more and more God things in that. But we moved into this house. It's a lovely house, big enough for everybody, and no gerbils lost or chewing on anything. It's opposite a park, near to Charlie's school, around the corner from my college train station. And we moved to that house. Now, it was about a year and a half to 2 years of Dad's putting that circle on the map and saying, "That is where we are going to live." And he had faith, and he was constantly praying for it. It was annoying the amount he was praying for it. "Right, guys, we're going to eat breakfast. We're going to have some dinner, but first we need to pray about this circle." "Oh, Dad, it's been 20 minutes. It's cold." It wasn't quite that bad, but he did. He had this amazing faith, which always encouraged me. Patience. It's important to know that it's in God's time, and it's His plan for whatever situation. It might look like it's got worse. Like I said, we moved to a horrible area for a year. It was a nightmare. It took me an hour and a half to get to college every day, an hour and a half back. But in God's time and through my dad's faith, he got that house, which is incredible. And it's actually where my sister still lives now, so it's blessed the whole family. Now, on to verse 12. "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So straight after what Jesus has said to them about waiting for the Holy Spirit, they went and they prayed. Now, in the fire, I was reading my fire Bible about this, and it said this about this verse. It says, "Christ's followers before Pentecost faithfully joined together in obedience to Jesus' instructions to wait for the Father's promise of the Holy Spirit. Their minds, affections and desires were focused together in prayer with extraordinary unity and purpose, and they waited until the Holy Spirit came to them in tremendous power." Now, that time was the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came onto all of the people. But they waited. Now, what's important to point out there is that the day of Pentecost was 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven. So even the Holy Spirit that was promised to come to the apostles wasn't instant. It wasn't, "I'm gone, here's the Holy Spirit." It was 10 days. And it wasn't 10 days of just carrying on with life, waiting. Oh, there it is, happy days, there's the Holy Spirit, brilliant. It was 10 days, it says here, of constantly praying. 10 days of constant prayer, asking for something that Jesus himself had promised to them. They're going to get it. It's like, we need to pray for it. We need to pray into this. We need to pray, we need to pray, we need to pray. Constant prayer to ask Jesus what he's promised to them. But again, here is the prayer. And the waiting for the response from God before the action. You know, which is kind of like what a lot of people from Junction have been doing. We've had a few prayer meetings and stuff. Fortunately, I've not been able to go, but I hear they've been really good in this. Getting together just to pray and wait to listen from God. This is what Junction is doing, in essence, is what the apostles did. And then it says this. If I can find it, here we go. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. He said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out." Which isn't something I'll elaborate on, that speaks for itself. But everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. So they called that field in their language, Akodama. That is, field of blood. "For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place in leadership. Therefore it is necessary to come to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection.' So they nominated two men. Joseph called Barabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, 'Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs.' Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles." They don't make names easy to pronounce, do they? Now, this part of the scripture is particularly interesting, especially with where we are as Junction at the moment. Now, it's slightly different because Mark hasn't betrayed Jesus. I'm not calling you Judas. Well, I'm kind of referring to you as Judas, but you're not Judas. Nothing like that. But what he is doing is he's leaving a place of leadership to explore different avenues for new excitement, for new challenges and a new path for him. It does say, "Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must be a witness with us for his resurrection." Now, this is important, but it's a bit impossible to do in a modern age. Because some of us might be older than others, but none of us was around when Jesus was living around. But when I looked at this part of the passage again and again to kind of see the relevance now, you know, and why it was relevant, I realised it's knowledge. Simply knowledge. Knowledge of who Jesus truly was. Knowledge of the resurrection. Knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Person filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know? I mean, these were the 12 apostles. They were choosing the 12th apostle. And the word apostle, do you know what the word apostle means? I turn to you because you've...
Someone who goes out and gives a message.
Yeah, messenger. I'm sorry for picking on you then. It's because you've got one. Go for two for two. I'll find another one. You can get a hat trick. So it basically means messenger or sent one. And was used to describe the 12 who had walked with Christ and who had received a direct commissioning from Christ. The 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. The ones that received a direct commissioning from Christ. So how could someone who didn't walk with him at this time truly know him? You know, there wasn't a Bible back then to tell everyone about Jesus. No, it had to be someone that saw these miracles firsthand. It's someone to go and tell people that he was resurrected. So it had to be someone that truly believed it, someone that had seen it back then, in order to go and spread the word through word of mouth. Like I say, there wasn't a Bible or anything like that back then. It was the word of mouth. However, now it's different. But the principles remain the same. You know, it doesn't need to be someone that's been around since the beginning of Junction to the time Mark leaves. That principle, no. But it does need to be someone that truly has knowledge of who Jesus is and was. Someone that truly believes that Jesus rose to the dead and ascended to heaven. Someone with knowledge to help people, to teach people, to guide people through. Now, this isn't a rally or anything, so I don't know who that person is. I'm just basically telling you what the scripture is and how it reflects to someone today. So, as a church, we need to be together as one unit, praying for the Holy Spirit to enter into both us individually, but also collectively to the church. In the verse, it says that this was shared with the whole congregation of around 120. They prayed and they cast lots. So it wasn't something that was done behind closed doors. It was something that everyone was a part of. You know, and I'm not saying that what we're going to do is Mark's going to pick somebody, Phil's going to pick somebody, and then we're all going to vote. They're all going to get some money to put banners up everywhere and everyone's going to vote. No. Well, there we go. We'll just pick names out of a hat. No, I don't have a clue what's going to happen. But what I am saying is that we each have a critical part in this transition for Junction, for us as a church, as a family, as one unit. We each have a critical part, and that is to pray. You know, all that congregation many moons ago had a part in it, and we all do. And the part that we is simply praying into the future of Junction. To know what it is, what it will become. What will the leadership look like? But also to pray after we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, after we've really prayed into that. Pray for growth in areas. I mean, I know it's a bit tough to tell today because some people are away. But, and I've said it, like, Junction is sometimes dwindling in numbers. So we need to pray as well for growth in the ministry, to strengthen the ministry. So if Junction does one day go boom, with all the Holy Spirit that we're going to be pouring out and all the love people are going to want to be coming to Junction, I'm sure of it. You know, is to strengthen those areas of ministry. And for me especially, it's the kids' work. I mean, there was a time when you couldn't step for kids running around. But, we've had a season of change. And, you know, one of my prayers is that will one day change. And that we can be back to that. But all of that starts with the leadership. And I think that together it's something we all need to take an active part in. As it is our church. We can so often just get tied up in praying for this and praying for that and thinking, oh, well, that's somebody else's problem. It's somebody else's thing to do. But all of us, it's something that we all need to take an active part into praying about and waiting to hear from God and then sharing that to who it needs to be shared to, whether it's everybody, whether it's an individual. But I think that's important. So What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the worship team if they could come back up. What I want to do is just spend a short sermon so we can spend time in worship asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know I've gone on a lot about the Holy Spirit but not broken down exactly what it is, because I know I spoke about that before. But if it's something that you have questions with, you know, there are people around that would be happy to talk to you. I'm sure Mark would. I would. There's people around that would be happy to talk with you and to point out scriptures to read to learn more about yourselves as well. What I think would be good to do is if we can just, I'm going to pray, but if we could just spend some time literally just in worship, asking God to enter us, you know, to pray during the worship for Junction and the future of Junction, because it's all something we are all so invested in. If not, you wouldn't be here every Sunday. So I'm going to, if you don't mind standing, I'm going to pray. Yes, Lord, I thank you for Junction. I thank you for what it has been, what it is, and what it will be, and for all it's done for me in my life, and for everybody here. Junction's had a key part in everybody's life in some way or another. I pray that you will fill us all with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, for those that have experienced it, to experience it more and to be able to practice it, and for those who haven't, to understand what your Holy Spirit is, and understand what it really means, and to be filled by you, by your Spirit. Elaine prayed earlier that the Holy Spirit comes into people and influences them in different ways, and different people show the Holy Spirit in different ways. It's not because one person's doing this that you need to do this to be filled with the Spirit. We are all individuals, and God knows that. He knows what element of the Spirit you need. So I just pray that as we're filled with the Spirit, you will make aware to us what gifts you're giving us, Lord Jesus, and what strengths we have, Lord, and encourage us in that. And I pray for Junction as it moves forward, that you will really help us in the leadership, that you'll help us in the preaching team, that you'll help us in the worship team, in the kids ministry, in the bacon ministry, Lord Jesus, in prayer ministry, in all the ministry of Junction, that you will be a part of it, starting with a change in leadership, Lord. I pray that you will be a part of it, that your Spirit will lead us forward, and that you will just continue to bless us and help us to grow closer as a family, Lord Jesus, in one unit, and your children. Pray that you bless this time of worship, that we can be free to express ourselves in you, and that you'll talk to us each individually and personally, Lord. Amen.
Reveal us anew, we pray. Consuming fire, fan into flame. The passion for your name. Spirit of God, pour in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. Come like the rushing wind. Hold us with fire.
Have a sense of
child.
Wake, awake, awake, awake.
I will dry those. I belong to you alone. Lay me down, I'm alone.
Thank you, worship team. Michael, your thumbs must be bleeding at this point. We are going to pray for these guys. Don't worry, we haven't missed them out. But we just want to give you an opportunity. If you want to go, then please do. Don't feel you have to stay. And also, if you want to stack a chair, and of course, that's always a special, I always think a special gifting within the church, chair stacking. And so we'll just be doing some prayer ministry. And if you want some more prayer, you know, then anything specifically, then feel free to come up and we'll pray for you still. We haven't, you know, we can go on. Well, we've got the hall for at least 25 minutes, so we're okay. And apart from that, I'm the caretaker, so I lock up when I decide. So there you go. So let me just say a prayer and just say, Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a privilege and wonderful to pray your Holy Spirit into this space today, to just invite you into people's lives to do the amazing work that you have done. Lord, you do bring power to our lives. You change our thinking, you change our desires, you change our hearts. And I really pray for that today, Lord, that actually something will be going on inside, something deep within our spirit, within our soul. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that would be, that we could nurture that would grow, that we will be a church that honours you, that we will be a church, Lord, that excels in the gifting of the members, because why? We've received power on high, the power of your Holy Spirit to come and change us. So, Lord, watch over us, protect us, keep us safe, and let us always walk with you, closely with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's it, guys. See you next week.